everybody doing this morning? Woohoo! All right. Are you excited to be here? Are you happy to be here? Are you joyful to be here? Okay, now we put all those things together, but do they all mean the same thing, right? Do they do that? Okay, so here's the story I want to tell you. I was in the Marine Corps. I was a teacher in the meteorology school for the Marine Corps. So I got all my guys in there on a Saturday. They think they're going to be there all day. So I walk up and I say, I don't think I cuss, but I think, sit your butts down, right? Something like that. I got 4 hours of information to go through, and then there's a test afterwards. You should have said, they all sat down. See how you guys are all dead quiet? You're like, oh, he's kind of tough, right? I only had a half hour of stuff. There was no test. Do you think they were happy or joyful after that was done? See that? For me, that's happiness. It was one split second, right? They were happy for just that short little period. But I was joyful the rest of the day because I pulled it off and they thought it was pretty funny. All right? So I'm going to go over, the song was Because I'm Happy, right? What's the difference between happiness and joy? And there is a difference between the two, right? So we're going to kind of go over that. Well, what's the first thing you do? Well, you got to go find the definition somewhere, right? And here's what I hate about happiness definition. There's lots of stuff in here. Mental or emotional state of well-being characterized by pleasant emotions. Happiness is positive and pleasant emotion, ranging from contentment to intense joy. Moments of happiness may be triggered by positive life experiences or thoughts, but sometimes it may arise from no obvious cause, like me changing the tone of my voice, right? You got a little happy there. You guys, I heard some giggles. But how about joy? Joy, not so legalistic. The emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of processing or possessing what one desires, like delight. The expression is an exhibition of such emotion like bliss. Do we even know what bliss is? But it's a source or a cause of delight. That's what joy is. But in reality, what is the difference between joy and happiness to all of us, right? And that's what we're going to cover. Because here's the problem. I see a great number of people who do not appear to be joyful at all, right? Or happy. It seems like everybody's upset about something or another. But why are they not happy? Well, you have a million different reasons why someone could be unhappy. Social media, somebody in traffic. You just don't like that person for some reason because they rubbed you wrong somewhere. Not a dry rub, but they rubbed you wrong. But for many of us, it's actually kind of easier to be unhappy than it is to be happy, isn't it? You kind of got yourself in that place and you just feel like, even if you get happy for a little bit, I'm just going to go right back to where it was because it's the easiest thing to do, to go back to where I was, to fall back into the bad things I was doing, right? Because there's no happiness or joy for me at all. And we start to think these things for ourselves. So it becomes very easy. Even when life seems good, going back to the old way of life is so tempting, but because it is so easy, even if that old life was terrible. So for me, happiness is food. Food. All right. So you guys all know that I got injured in the Marine Corps. I got pain every day. When it gets bad, I go to the donuts or the chocolate chip cookies or whatever it is to make me feel good for even that short little period. You know what I feel after I eat the entire box of the cookies? I feel awful, right? I go right back to where I was. So what did the cookies do for me? Nothing other than this. That's what it did for me. Right there. That stomach is what it did for me. Not a good thing. But other people, what do other people have? Drugs. Fall into drugs. Alcohol. Pornography. Oh, gambling. How about, there's all kinds of different things you can fall into, and you may be sinning when you're doing it. You may just be in depression and you're struggling with all kinds of things. I hear this song, and even just for a short period, right? Were you all happy? I saw a lot of dancing and clapping. Everybody was happy for a short period, right? But it's an instant. And some people, it's just a day, maybe even 2 or 3 days. Then we all fall back to kind of where we were. Because we don't have that anchor. We don't have the core of joyfulness in our lives. So happiness becomes fleeting. So when I started thinking about this stuff, I had come across an article about, I think it was 2 weeks ago, maybe it was a week ago, the saying, a mile wide and an inch deep. Has anybody heard that saying before? A mile wide and an inch deep. Okay, so The mile wide is an old expression by a writer named Nye in 1889. He wrote about the Platte River, which had a very large circulation but very little influence. I think it's in Nebraska. It covers a good deal of ground, but it is not deep. In some places, it is a mile wide and 1 inch deep. And he wrote this in an article in a paper in 1889. And so the phrase was born, but it's not meant as a compliment. Not meant as a compliment at all. Matter of fact, politicians started picking it up, right? You got politician, academia, other fields to describe people whose knowledge is superficial. It's just on the surface. Maybe it's a face mask. Maybe it's some facade you have on there. But you're superficial, okay? So that's where I started what I was thinking about I was going to preach about today. But I want to break it up. There's more than just a mile wide and 1 inch deep. We're going to get into other four categories here. So I'm going to start off with 1 inch wide and 1 inch deep. That'll be one of them. Then I'll cover a mile wide and 1 inch deep, an inch wide and a mile deep. Mm-hmm. You guys are seeing all these differences, right? And a mile wide and a mile deep. So where are we going with this? What's the difference between the joy and the happiness, and how are we going to figure it out? So when we go to the first one, an inch wide and an inch deep. Now, for most of us, this is just one of those little fleeting spots in your life. If you're really struggling with depression, you know what I'm talking about, right? There's just that little bit of happiness there, and you have forced your mind into a million reasons to not be happy, even though that little thimble is what you want full of happiness, that 1 inch wide and 1 inch deep. It's there, but you still can't see it. You're struggling to find the real happiness in it, even if it's just for that short period. And of course, 1 inch wide and 1 inch deep, you can't swim in that, can you? Nope, can't swim in that at all. This is because you become kind of small, narrow-minded, in a rough place that you're in with your life. You pigeonhole yourself into that spot, and all these different scenarios you want to happen, if they aren't perfect to get into that one little thimble, you're never going to be happy. You'll struggle. If this doesn't happen and that doesn't happen and this and 17 other different things, then I'll be happy, okay? But only a couple truly do find a spot like that. If you're looking for happiness or joy, you'll rarely find these little spots, and if you do, you sure don't feel happy most of the time. You can only think of depression and shame. So let's go to a psalm here, and this is what it says in the Bible about this. It says in Psalm 34, 18 through 19 verses, "The Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Trying to give you the impression and the feeling that God is there for you no matter how bad these things are, no matter how bad you feel. There are places of happiness and joyfulness in your life if you start to find Jesus and follow Jesus, of course. I would guess that at least a dozen people in this crowd right now could tell you the exact point where they changed their lives, where something happened. I finally decided I'm going to find God, and I made this decision and I changed right then and there. Probably at least a dozen of you. The rest of us, maybe we don't think we're there yet, right? Maybe it hasn't happened. Maybe it's the person right next to you that it has happened to, or the person in front of you. How about yourself? Maybe it is yourself. Maybe you have already happened, and you can push. You can help that with somebody else, right? By telling them more about Jesus. So there is some differences there, and very few seem to have it. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes real quick for me. And I want you to imagine it's black, right? I want you to imagine this black spot, but there's a white dot out in the distance. Focus on that white dot. Focus on it real clear. Now as it's coming closer to you, you're starting to see it a little better, right? Focus on that white dot. Still bring it into your mind. It's big, it's getting bigger, and now it engulfs you. It's not a train, it's not running over you. You can open your eyes now. But did you feel something when you were trying to focus on that dot? When you were trying to focus on that dot, you didn't see the darkness around it, did you? All the problems around what is good in your life that you can't focus on. But if you start focusing on these good things, all that other stuff fades into the background. And before you know it, everything is light, right? And then there's just little dots of darkness around it because you feel comfortable, you're happy and joyful in your life. And this is what we want you to find when you become and find Jesus Christ, when you find him. So think of that for yourself. Now, when you're in this position in the river, 1 inch deep, right? 1 inch wide, I know it sounds the opposite of what you might think, but when life seems terrible, right, and things are bad, this happens to be when people tend to grab onto Jesus. I just can't take it anymore. I need something. Oh, I've hated that for all these years, but finally I've walked through the doors and decided this is my time. It can almost be easier when you're at the depths of depression and sorrow and darkness that you can step in and find that light and focus on that light. Sometimes the other times, there's just too much chatter going around the background. But when you're in the depths and the sorrows, and you don't have to go all the way down to the bottom, but sometimes it's just the easiest to grab on and come out of there. So I know it sounds that way. It sounds like it's kind of opposite of what you would think. You would think, well, if you're happy, it would be easy to do this. And it is when you're happy. If you got money and you got all these things, it's easier to praise Jesus. But if you lose it all, then it's not, is it? So you lost the darkness because you were focusing on the light. That's what we were talking about. So many stories in the Bible on those types of people overcoming because they believe in God. I know you know a few yourselves, some in this church. Maybe that person sitting in front of you or behind you, of course. So that's where we're going with 1 inch deep and 1 inch wide. There's nothing there. You can't swim in it. You can't do much with it. And it's very fleeting. It goes very, very fast. So let's move to the 1 mile wide and 1 inch deep, which I talked about at the beginning. You know, this is more of a shallow and fake kind of Christian, right? This is the guy who says, he talks the talk, comes into church, blah, blah, blah. Hey, man, you look great today. Things are good. Oh, blessings to you, man. And then he walks out the door, and he's a totally different person. Right? For that fleeting moment, he's happy. He's trying to put this facade on everything. This river looks great. Doesn't look great. I look great. I'm blessings of God. But then he walks out the door and he's totally different. He's not the same person. He's shallow and fake. He's a mile wide for all to see, but only an inch deep, floundering to survive. Right? Many of us have struggled between this shallow kind of religion and deeper faith. That's why you're all here. One of the most difficult things in life is to keep all things where they're all supposed to be, right? Balance. I got to balance my kids here, the school there, my work here, and that there. Where's God come in? For many people, it's just that fake facade on the top. It's there on Sundays, right? But it's not there the rest of the week. So you've seen this before. It starts at one end, starts them, you know, people spinning. This is what I wanted to talk about. So I wanted to give a focus on how it was, and I was like, well, how do you do that? I told you it's a fake facade. You guys seen a clown or just some guy on stage? He starts spinning the plates, and he moves to the next one. He's got this wrong post. If you haven't seen it, it's kind of cool. He goes on. He gets like five or six, and by the time he's done, this one at the end is starting to wobble, ready to fall down. So he runs over. And he starts spinning that one, right? But then what does he got to do? Got to go to the next one, and the next one. And somewhere he starts slowing down. And then the plates start falling. And that facade starts coming down. And he starts going back into the places he should be because things start to fall apart. Because you can't keep up with that kind of pace. You can't keep up that fake facade and that shallowness that you're in. So as people, when we are a mile wide and 1 inch deep, we always have that clown face on, right? We're that guy spinning the plates, trying to look happy and balance the unhappiness before it crashes. We tend to dread life and facing trials or experiencing suffering. This is the person that's like this. When we are in the middle of these terrible times, we tend to think that we should be able to put on a smile and move forward. What do they say? Fake it till you make it, right? Okay, that's a plan, but how long are you going to fake it? A gesture to say most people who are faking it do fall away and we never see them again, right? They can't go up with that forever. Eventually, the plates are going to crash. The question is, what are you going to do when the plates do crash? You might remember the parable of the sower. I'm going to put it up here. Matthew 13, 20 through 21. You can see it there. So what it says in there is, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. When I first read that, I thought, oh, this is great. You're getting joy. Everything's good. You're receiving it. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. He has problems. So I had to focus. I had to go back to the beginning of that and I had to think about what does it say there. And then I realized what it says. But he who received the seed on stony places, not on solid ground, not a base. Soon as something happened, he fell right off of that stony place and he had problems, right? That's what we're talking about here. This is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no roots in himself. No roots that are on the ground based in Jesus to hold him on to where he is in his life. Well, he falls apart. The plates break and he moves on. Sometimes they never come back. This scripture clearly reveals that Christians will not endure the hard times if they are not in the deep waters of joy. You can't swim on 1-inch deep water, even if it's a mile wide, even though that's a lot of water. You can't swim on it. They have no strength to stand against the schemings of the devil. You're going to struggle, and they may be happy right now and flowing with everything the church is doing. Man, everything's great. Look at all that. The music's good. I'm excited about what you guys are doing. But deep down, things are different. Once you get past that 1-inch, they're floundering, they're struggling, they're having problems. The hard times, they come to every one of us, that's for sure. We're living in a day when true Christianity is being more and more opposed and persecuted, right? Every time I say that to somebody, they nod their heads. They know it. They know it. Something along those lines. So we need to be strong in the Lord, walking and living in the power of his light, or we're going to fall. Our plates are going to fall. We're going to struggle with what we're doing, and we're not going to be anchored in a place that's solid in Jesus Christ. So to survive the enemy's onslaughts, we have to be swimming deeply in the principles of the word of God, right? We need a daily relationship with him, and we need to really anchor ourselves in that spot that will keep us there forever. It can't be on this, it has to be on something solid, and solid is Jesus. We only prove the power, blessings, and benefits of Christianity when we are totally dedicated to the cause of Christ. You know, when I talked about reading this story a few weeks ago, or that saying, it was in an article on the churches and what churches were like. And it talked about churches being pretty much fake and, you know, nothing's there. It's just a facade out front and there's nothing inside, right? Over and over again, you heard things like, the church today is compromised. Do you think the church is compromised in places today? Absolutely. Absolutely. The modern church is about entertainment. All right? Entertainment. You love the music, right? Okay, I got to admit, I may not have stepped through the door if it wasn't for the music. So while there's entertainment, for me, it drew me in. So it's working for some people, right? But it's not everybody's cup of tea, that's for sure. The contemporary church is more about personalities than about Jesus, right? It's all about the pastor and what he looks like and what he's doing. Today's preachers just say what people want to hear. Have you heard that before? Right? Oh, prosperity, prosperity, baby. You're going to be okay. And then maybe one time they say something about Jesus and then they go on, right? They're not anchored in Jesus Christ. Hey, how about this one? Man, that pastor had some cool sneakers on, didn't he? Didn't he? Yeah? So that's when I lift mine up and go, yep, $10, 3 years. All right, so that's all you got to know. I don't have cool sneakers. I don't care. Your other pastor doesn't either. So that's the good news. But, yes, the church today is compromised. It's shallow, it's legalistic, it's petty, unforgiving many times, but it hasn't changed. It's the same as it was 100 years ago or 500 years ago. We just go about it differently. We're still doing the same things that humans did back then, that God put us on the planet he knew we would do. We're still doing them today. So there's never been a perfect church. Never a church without this compromise, never a church without some shallow, toxic people, and some self-serving preachers, you name it. You can say all kinds of different things about different churches, right? You came in here because you feel comfortable, but there's 100 different churches around this town. We don't care if you're sitting in here. We care that you're sitting in a church somewhere, somewhere where you enjoy the music. Maybe you like the bagels, but maybe you just don't feel good and you leave that place for some small reason. And we've seen this many times. Find a church that preaches about Jesus. You may have heard them all those sayings, but does this church teach the Bible right here? Do we say what you want to hear? Do we stray from Jesus' words, or do we anchor ourselves in it? You see, Scripture, we talk about it all the time. We don't do anything unless it's based on Scripture. We don't stray away from the Bible in any way. We do not try to stretch it in any way. Some churches don't. The Bible-toting, Jesus-anchoring church is the type of church you want to be at. Regardless of the type of music, the type of bagels, or the guy who greets you at the door. Who cares? Find one that believes in Jesus, and they tote the Bible around, all right? The Bible and Jesus need to be the main focus, and we need to stop thinking that the church today is less capable of being used by God than it has ever been. Did God use the church 100 years ago? Did he use it 500 years ago? He did. Everything wasn't perfect. Nothing's ever going to be perfect. You're never going to have a perfect church. But he used the church in ways that people will never know, right? And things that they will never know and what happened to them. So there's all kinds of different ways that you can find yourself, that you can get away from the sneakers and worrying about the entertainment and all those things and focus on God and Jesus. All right? So let's go to an inch wide and a mile deep. All right, is this one happiness, an inch wide and a mile deep? So it's pretty deep. It's got to have some good stuff in it, but it's still that little thimble, right? Can you swim in it? Nope, still can't swim in that, right? So there's something missing there, right? Something missing. I would call it, is it happiness? It may be happiness because it's so small, it happens quick. See, the real big difference between happiness and joy is longevity. Happiness is quick, usually goes away, right? The song was quick, it was good, it sounded great, and it might have made you a little joyful, but are you fully joyful? That's where we're trying to get to. So, happiness. I decided, what do you got to do? You got to Google it, right? I Googled happiness in the Bible, and here's what I got, and I love these responses. First one, 34 Bible verses about happiness. Happiness for Christians, your action plan. Uplifting Scripture quotes 20 Bible verses about happiness. Wow, all of our troubles fixed in 20 verses, right? 34 verses. Seems simple. Why are we even sitting here in a church? We just go home and Google it and we're good, right? It's not what life's about, is it? You got to build it. You got to strengthen it. You got to make it bigger and bigger. An inch wide and a mile deep. These are those short-lived great times where we get happy and then fool ourselves into thinking these short bursts are joy. I heard it said this way. You're at work. Who's been at work? And you hear the boss isn't going to be there that day. Woohoo! That's a little short bit of happiness, right? What if you hear he's going to be gone a week? Woohoo! Because what do when the boss is gone? We play, right? We have fun, right? But it's short-lived, right? He's going to be back. He, she, whatever it is, they are, whoever the boss is, they're going to be back. So maybe you hear that and you think, this isn't for me. This is not what I can do. I'm struggling through all this. It's not part of the river I can swim in. It's just an inch wide, and that mile wide that you really need is not enough. So let's go to the thing that really is the most important. This is where we get to joy. This is a mile wide and a mile deep. Can you swim in that? Yeah, you can. There's lots of joy in this one, right? All right. These people, this is a hard place to get to. Hard place to get to because we have so many outside things working on us that we seem to focus on instead of that white light that has now enveloped us, right? So where does that joy come from? Here's the sweet spot. It's the place where no matter the circumstances, we can be joyful knowing we believe in Jesus. It is deep and meaningful. It can take us to a place on our own river, our own river. Even when life has us down, truthfully, and with depth in life has us down, truthfully, and I read it again. We can overcome anything and know that so we fear not and worry not because we know we can overcome it when we're joyful, right? I'm going to go to the story of Job in the Bible. Anybody heard about Job? Everybody knows the story of Job, right? Got a whole book full of Job there. So Job is like this. The story of Job in the Bible is a profound tale of faith and suffering. Job is wealthy and a righteous man who is blessed with a large family, great wealth, and a high social standing, right? He's up there. I don't know. We think about the rich people we see nowadays. Something like that is where he's at. God praises Job's righteousness to Satan, who argues that Job is faithful only because he's prosperous, right? Is it easy to be joyful and happy when you're prosperous? It is. Is it easy to be joyful and happiness when everything is awful? And you don't have anything. Nope. It's a lot easier there. So, to test Job's faith, God allows Satan to afflict him with several, all kinds of different things. He loses his kids. They die. He had 10 kids. All of them gone, right? They died. All the livestock's gone. The servants leave. Despite his immense grief, Job does not curse God, but instead mourns and remains steadfast in his faith. Here's what Job said after all of the cruel things that Satan did to him. It's in Job 1, 20 through 21. I want you to notice, first off, it's in chapter 1. There's a lot more to Job, and you're going to be excited about that. Well, they do movies about Job. So, Job stood up and tore his robe in grief. Then he shaved his head and fell to the ground to worship. And yes, as I said in the first service, I thought of Pastor Billy shaving his head, falling down, that kind of thing, right? But he said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How many of us could do that? Could you do that? Lose absolutely everything. You're sitting out on the street. Praise Jesus, I'm good. That's somebody who's joyful, no matter what happens. You might think that the story is over, but in the second part of the story, now his friends start to come. We're starting to get the social media around there. He's starting to get sick. He's having problems. Wife comes around and says, you need to rebuke God. Rebuke God. And he still says no. And then his friends come around, his buddies. They start talking. Man, all these things have been happening to you. This is awful. You should rebuke God, man. You should get rid of him. He's not there. But Job doesn't do that. Job does not do that. He defends his innocence and laments conditions, pleading for answers from God. So instead of getting upset, running to the hills, doing something else, he pleaded to God for the answers. Eventually, God speaks to Job out of a whirlwind, highlighting the vast difference between his kind of divine wisdom and his human understanding. Job humbly acknowledges God is there, right? His greatness, and repents for questioning his will, because he did just a little start to question what was going on. Job, his will, in the end, restored by God. His blessing, he was blessed with more children, granting him a long, prosperous life. So things were still good. The story of Job exemplifies unwavering faith amidst trials and tribulations. It's joy, right? I thought of joy in several different ways when I was younger. First off, my joy was in sports. Man, the Marine Corps, they tell you can do sports, and that's all I wanted to do. And my kids and my wife will tell you, it was 24-7. What game am I playing tonight? Where am I going this time? How can I move work around so I can go there so I can be joyful playing sports? And I thought that was a great thing, right? Well, apparently God didn't. God said, I'm going to take that away from you. So I got hurt, had to retire out of the Marine Corps, couldn't play sports anymore. I thought life was awful. I thought it was at the end. Matter of fact, I went through probably, I think, about 7 years where I hated the world. I never focused on the fact that I immediately got a job when I got out. The kids grew up great. They had a great school. We bought a new house. I was able to get in a different program, doing all my meteorology, all the things I did before. But I was still mad because I didn't complete my Marine Corps career, and I couldn't do the things I thought were joyful. And then one day, I think it was probably, middle of 2003, somewhere in there, right about the time we were getting ready to go down to South Carolina, I think we had the kids over for a group one time because we used to have the kids over at our house every Sunday night. And I started saying, what's going on? Why am I stuck here in this place? Look at all these beautiful blessings I have because I can't focus on anything but the darkness around it, right? It's a struggle. It's a hard thing to get to. You want to see the joy. You want to see the joy? Then read the book about Job, okay? Because reading in the book of Job offers deep insights into human suffering, the limits of our understanding, and the depth of faith. It's all in there. Now, I want to pass this one more story off because I liked it from the first service, and it really hits home, too. Because I am no different than any one of you out there. When I was 25, I was all about myself. Finally, about 40, I said, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? What's life about? And God stepped in, and he said, come this way, my son, right? Baptized, found Jesus. We became missionaries. We started our own missionary program in Belize, right? We had people coming and going back and forth every year. They'd come to the property. We'd take them out by boat to the property. We had these cabanas built on the beach. It was beautiful. We'd take them in every morning. We'd go to an orphanage. We'd go to some school to help out. Maybe we'd go to the prison. We got into the prison system for a couple trips. That was pretty cool. And we just did a little bit of everything. And they would come back, and they would have a place to stay. Then COVID hit, right? COVID hit. We haven't had a trip since. I guess I should be upset, shouldn't I? I still see the joy in it. I still see the fact that somewhere in that period, I saw God, or God said to me, this is the person, or that's the person, or that's the person. Somewhere there, we touched somebody, right? We just don't think of it. We only think of the bad things. Oh, we can't take people there. Then something even more happened, right? Hear all the things happening to Job, all these things. The guy we had out on our property, his name was Mr. Palma. Mr. Palma, he would keep track of everything while we were here, making sure the cabanas were clean. He was out there in the middle of nowhere by himself, had his own little radio. Well, apparently, Mr. Palma got himself into a little trouble. He was seen in town with a whole bunch of money, and the next thing you know, he disappeared. Mr. Palma got killed on our property. Killed on our property. This is just about almost 2 years ago now. Killed on our property. His family didn't know where he was. The police said they went out there to find him, and they couldn't find him. They never went out there because the family went out, and within 5 minutes, they found him. He had gotten mixed up with some gangs somehow or another. Now, he used to tell people, don't pick this up off the beach or don't do that if you don't know what it is. Maybe he did because he had money and he was seen in town with it. Guatemalan gangs got a hold of him. Okay? Is that joyful? No, I'm sad that Mr. Palma's gone. A couple people here have seen Mr. Palma and know him. Great stories, all kinds of bush stories. Oh, the ants bite you and you're all there, pour gasoline on it, you'll be fine, that kind of stuff. It's a guy you would love, right? And while he was rough on his interior and exterior that you saw, the inside of him still loved God because he stayed there 7 years. He stayed there on that property, helping us get through all this. Now you think, okay, well, that's good. You guys are great. I got through that. I'm still joyful. I hate that Mr. Palm is gone, but I'm joyful that we had something there and God had something for us. And maybe right now, Mr. Palma's death is teaching us about that, right? Story's not over. It's like Job. Literally 2 weeks later, we get hit by a hurricane. All six cabanas are gone. All six. It's a lot of money Susie and I had. We put it together to go down there to do that. It's all gone. There's just stubs there now. I could be upset. I could be really, well, I guess I was unhappy for a day or two. Then I started thinking about still the blessings that God gave me to go down there in the first place. And how, when we came back, I still got a job right away, and we still had money, and we're able to take care of things and get back into the church and do what we wanted to. Why focus on it? It's going to be bad. All of them are going to be bad. We're all going to have bad things. God had a reason for us to be down there. We touched somebody. I don't know who it was. And I'm joyous about that. I'm excited about that. I want that for you guys. I will never know who it was, but I didn't get in the way of that person finding Jesus, did I? Or did we? We were the little pebble on the path for them to get to Jesus Christ. We weren't a big boulder. And while we're just that small little pebble, 10 years from now, maybe someone's a preacher down in Belize because they saw us 15 years ago, right? Right? Maybe someone finds Jesus who never was going to find Jesus because they remembered about these guys who came to an orphanage and helped out when I was 7. You never know. Blessings are there. You just got to find them and stop focusing on all this darkness around you. All right? I know, that's a tough one. Now, Job's trials and unwavering faith, and readers reflect on his lives and hardships when you read it, right? The poetic dialogues and God's response provide a rich, thought-provoking narrative that encourages introspective and spiritual growth. So, Job had joy despite his terrible circumstances, right? Who else? Oh, John on the island of Patmos, right? He loved what was going on. He was in prison, basically, yet he was joyous about Jesus. And how about Jesus himself? We know he was joyous when he was carrying that cross up the hill, when they put those nails in him. You know why he was joyous? Because he knew what he was doing for us. Those nails in his hands and his feet were for us, to save our sins. And he was joyful when he did it. He even said so before when he talked to his disciples. I can't imagine myself thinking that. But I'm not also Jesus. But I sure would like to act like him, though. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't that bring joy to all of us? The difference between joy and happiness is definitely substantial. We often assume that the fleeting feeling of happiness, you know, the giddy laughter of contentment and the comforts of life is akin to the joy we experience in Jesus itself. You know, 1 inch wide, right, and 1 mile deep. Those short happenings, those short things that happen to you. The difference between joy and happiness is substantial, although fleeting. It's fleeting. That feeling of happiness, it just goes away quick. But the joy, it can stay with you forever. And that joy is finding Jesus, knowing what he did for you, knowing what he will do for you, is where that joy can anchor itself right in your life. That's the mile wide and the mile deep we look for. Man, what a big difference. So, to survive the enemy's onslaughts, we have to be swimming deeply in the principle of the Word of God. We need a daily relationship with Jesus Christ, and this is a hard thing for so many people to do. I don't have time. I can't find the balance to get there. Keep trying. Don't give up. All right? There's plenty to do. You'll find your way through it. If we are not fully committed to Jesus Christ, then we are living a half-hearted relationship, which means it is a shallow relationship. It means when you walk out these doors, you're going to change. You're not going to be the person you were standing or sitting in here right now. Hey, you look around you, there's plenty of us doing it. Guilty, many times. Things are different now. It could be different for you too. That means that when all these things happen to you and bad things happen to you, you're not going to survive, right? If you don't have God in your life. And still, even with God in my life, I didn't focus on that and figure that out even till later. First, it was a long period. Now I start to see it. Okay, it might be a day or two I'm upset or I just don't like that. But then I see the joy in everything that God has done for me. And I want that for you too. All right? Happiness and joy. All right, Because I'm Happy is actually the name of the song, right? This song is fun, it's light, and yes, it makes us happy for a short period. But does it fulfill your wants and needs? Is there something you're missing, right, when the song ends? Is there? You're happy. I know everybody was happy for a while, all right? But are you swimming in a river 1 mile deep and 1 mile wide, or are you struggling swimming in 1 inch of water that gets you nowhere with no end? It's a tough thing. I wanted to do all kinds of visuals of the 1 mile jumping up on the table like Pastor Billy talked about. So see me going like this in 1 inch of water. I wouldn't have got anywhere, would I? I would have crashed and burned after that. Just like I'm crashing and burning without the band coming up because they all got babies right now. Right? They're all taking care of babies. But I'm joyful that they have babies, right? One's my granddaughter, right? So those are great things. Those are the joys that we want to get into. The fulfillment of life and things we did that we talked about possibly when we were younger. Craig, remember the story last year I talked about in the first service about us. When I was younger, and he remembered this, and I can't believe he remembered this, all I said was, when I get old, I want to be able to play golf with all the generations of people in my family, all the kids and the grandkids and all that. We did that last year already. All right, there's three generations right now. All three of us got to play. Grandsons, Craig, and me. We had a great time. And what topped it off was him saying he remembered it. What a blessing. What a joy to be able to do the things, despite all the things that have happened, to be able to do those things. Why? Because we believe in Jesus Christ. All right, here's an opportunity. We're going to take this opportunity right now. If you're here, you're struggling, you want to find Jesus, you just haven't done it yet. You just haven't done it yet. We're going to say a short prayer. Yes, I might be all over the place with it, but try to follow along with me. And just repeat what I say, all right? And this is, yes, first-timers, but I want everybody to do it because now you're just reaffirming what we've talked about before in your life. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of all the things I've done in my life, the sins, the hearts I may have broken, the people I may have hurt. I ask that you come into my life. Heavenly Father, I will be faithful to you for the rest of my life. It's in your name we pray. Amen.